أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أخرج الإمام البخاري ومسلم رحمهم الله تعالى بسندهما عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: غزا نبي من الأنبياء فقال لقومه: لا يتبعني رجل قد ملك بضع امرأة وهو يريد أن يبني بها ولما يبني، ولا آخر قد بنى بنيانا ولما يرفع سقفها، ولا آخر قد اشترى غنما أو خليفات وهو منتظر ولادها. قال صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم: فغزا فأدنى للقرية حين صلاة العصر أو قريبا من ذلك، فقال للشمس: أنت مأمورة وأنا مأمور، اللهم احبسها علي شيئا. فحبست عليه حتى فتح الله عليه، فجمعوا ما غنموا، فأقبلت النار لتأكله فأبت أن تطعمه، فقال نبيهم له: فيكم غلول، فليبايعني من كل قبيلة رجل منكم، فبايعوه. فلصقت يد رجل بيده فقال له: فيكم الغرور، فلتبايعني قبيلتك، فبايعته. فلصق بيد رجلين أو ثلاثة فقال لهم نبيهم: فيكم الثلاثة الغرور، أنتم غللتم. قال صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم: فأخرجوا له مثل رأس بقرة من ذهب، فوضعوه في المال وهو بالصعيد، فأقبلت النار فأكلته، فلم تحل الغنائم لأحد قبلنا، ذلك بأن الله تبارك وتعالى رأى ضعفنا وعجزنا فطيبها لنا. Abu Huraira, may Allah Ta'ala be pleased with him, reported to us an authentic hadith that we want to discuss today, that's been collected by Imam al-Bukhari, a Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there was a prophet from the prophets of the past who wanted to wage war against the disbelievers. So before leaving to wage the war and to make the jihad, he said to his people, there are three people from amongst you who cannot proceed with me, you can't go with me to participate in this jihad. The first person is a man who has married a woman and he has yet to consummate that marriage. You can't participate, you can't come. The second person is a man who has built a house and he has not completed its construction. He has not put the roof on. You also have to remain behind and you can't participate. And the third person who can't come is the man who has purchased some sheep that are pregnant, or a camel that is pregnant, and he's waiting for that camel or the sheep to give birth to the child. You also have to remain behind. So that prophet, he left and he came close to the city where he was going to wage his war. At that time he looked at the sun and he saw that the sun was about to set. So he said to the sun, you have been commanded, and I also have been commanded. You've been commanded to go your course and to set as you've been doing every day since Allah created you. And I have been commanded to come to this town to deal with these people. So therefore he made a dua, "Oh Allah, please delay the setting of the sun until I deal with these people." So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala delayed the sun from moving any further, and that prophet proceeded to deal with the kuffar. He destroyed them, and the sun remained in its place. At that time, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that prophet said to his people, "Bring forth the spoils of war that you got from these kuffar." One man, he's engaging another man, and he takes from him his spear and his sword. This man, he engages a kuffar, he takes his camel and his horse. This man goes into the house of one of the kuffar, and he takes his property. The prophet said to his people, the mujahideen, "Bring forth the booty." So they brought forth all of the spoils of war, and they put it in the middle of a place. And they waited for some fire to come from the sky to devour what they collected. But the fire didn't come. So the prophet said, "Verily from amongst you there is a thief. Someone has kept some of the money to himself. So therefore, let the leader of each one of you try. Let him come and give me the bay'ah." So the leaders begin to give him the bay'ah. There was one chief of the tribe who put his hand in the hand of the prophet and it got stuck. So the prophet said, "From your tribe there is the thief. So bring forth all of your members and let them give me the bay'ah." So the tribe came to give him the bay'ah, and there were two people from that man's tribe who their hands also got stuck with the prophet's hand. So he said, "You three have stolen from the booty." At that time they pulled out some gold the size of the head of a cow, and they put it with the rest of the money, and the fire came from the sky and it devoured the booty. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that was because the spoils of war was never permissible for any other ummah other than this ummah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala looked at the condition of our ummah and he saw that we were weak and infirm, so he allowed us to take and to enjoy from the spoils of war. This is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we want to discuss with you brothers today. And the very first thing that we want to discuss concerning this hadith is an issue that is relative to some of the visitors who we have amongst us today, who gave us a call during the middle of the week asking, is it allowed for them to come to the masjid? And we told them, the masajid are for Allah. There's no one who owns any masjid. But we want you and those people to understand concerning this hadith, that based on this hadith and other hadith similar to it, the sun was never delayed for any human being other than this particular prophet. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in another authentic hadith that's been collected by Al-Imam Ahmed on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ لَمْ تُحْبَثْ لِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْبَشَرِ إِلَّا لِيُوشَعْ لِيَالِي سَارَ إِلَى بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ. He said that the sun was never delayed for any human being ever, except for Yusha, whose name in English is Joshua, the young boy who was with Musa in Surah Al-Kahf when they went out to look for Khidr radiallahu anhu. The sun was never delayed for any human being except for Joshua, and it was delayed for him when he went to Jerusalem in order to conquer Jerusalem. So that second hadith that we just mentioned explains that the hadith in the first hadith that we mentioned, the prophet, his name is Joshua, and he was the only person that the sun was delayed for. The sun was not delayed for Ali ibn Abi Talib. So anytime the Muslim comes across a book, whether it is the books that are from the Sunnah or the books that are from other than that, and you read that Ali radiallahu anhu pointed to the sun and the sun stopped, this is a lie. It only happened for the prophet Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam. In saying that, I'm sure that there may be some people who may think that we want to take away from the virtues of Ali. And we have to state clearly here today that a man cannot be a Muslim without loving Ali ibn Abi Talib. There is something wrong with the Islam of a man who has a problem with Ali. How can we have a problem with Ali radiallahu anhu? The one who the Prophet said about him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or to him, أنت مني وأنا منك. You are from me, Ali, and I'm from you. The one who we said about him, أنت مني بمنزلة هارون إلى موسى إلا أنه لا نبي بعد. You to me, Ali, are like the way you're the way that Harun was to Musa, except that there's no prophet after me. How can we dislike Ali? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him, من صب عليا فقد صبني. Whoever curses Ali, he has in fact cursed me. We can take those three hadith that establish the virtues of Ali and put them on the side. And we can just look at the issue of the fact that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married his daughter Fatima to him as enough of a proof to establish the man's virtue. All we're saying is that we don't love Ali at the expense of hating the rest of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So just as a person, if he hates Ali, he has a problem with his Islam. If he also loves Ali at the expense of hating the other companions, he's also outside of the fold of al-Islam. From what we want to mention in this authentic hadith, Ikhwan, those three people who were not allowed to participate in the jihad clearly shows us and illustrates to us that the dunya is a fitna. And the dunya is a distraction for all of us. When the Islamic army is about to go out to proceed, when the Islamic community and the men of the community are trying to build a community, if they do not have their dunya in perspective and their priority straight, the dunya is a distraction. And when we talk about the dunya, we mean your monies, we mean your families, we mean your jobs, your careers, we mean the homes that you covet. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in yet another authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi on the authority of Ka'b ibn Iyad radiallahu anhu. Inna li kulli ummatin fitna wa inna fitnata ummati al-mal. Every single community, every single ummah has had a fitna. Bani Israel, all the way back, every ummah had a fitna. And the fitna of my community, the fitna of this ummah is money. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has clearly laid forth for us brothers and sisters in al-Islam a blueprint as to how the Muslim should be committed to going forward in his community life. And when we compare our efforts to what they were doing and what they did, it's clear that we fall short of the mark. So the question that presents itself is, what am I doing and what is it that is preventing me from coming forth with what I have to put on the table? Is it the wife? Is it the house that I'm trying to pay off or I'm trying to extend? Is it the children? The career? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, and again showing us the fitna of these things that we covet concerning our children, in the hadith that's been collected by Imam Abu Dawood on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, al-walid thamratul qalb wa innahu majbana mabkhala mahzana. He said that your child is the fruit of your heart, and he will make a man a coward, and he will make a man cheap, and he will make a man sad. The call for jihad takes place, and the man says, I can't participate because I'll leave my children as orphans. I'm going to remain behind. I can't give my money, my time, my effort, fi sabilillah, because if I did so, I'm going to take away from my responsibilities with my children. So the point of the hadith is that it is absolutely imperative that the man puts his issue and he prioritizes his affairs. He keeps his dunya in his hand and not in his heart. And he leaves the deen or the religion in his heart. He takes the dunya in his hand and he uses it in order to move forward, to better his condition. He has to prioritize his case. From this hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, we come to another extremely important point. And that point is how the Prophet Yusha ibn Nun, alayhi salatu wasalam, during that time, and he was the one who led Bani Israel into Jerusalem, and they defeated those Jababira. He had a legitimate excuse to miss the Salat al-Asr, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missed one of the Salat when he engaged the Kufar in a jihad. Our Prophet and Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, was fighting the Kufar. The Salat came in and it went out, and he didn't have an opportunity to pray. After he finished dealing with the Kufar, he cursed those people because he made them busy until the Salat left. The point that we want to make is, when we look at Joshua, alayhi salatu wasalam, in knowing the importance of the Asr Salat, he made the dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala not to allow the sun to set without affording him the opportunity to make the Asr Salat, which goes to show that the Asr Salat was important during their time, just as it's important right now. The Salat in which many of us are getting off of work. It comes in while we're at the job, at the end of the job. An hour and a half, 2 hours, and then you have to drive from your job to your home, and many times the Salat goes out before you get an opportunity to pray. It may not be every day, it may be every day, but it is an important Salat. It is an important Salat to the point that that Prophet and that Messenger asked Allah to delay the setting of the sun so that he can deal with the Kufar and then pray his Salat. In our religion, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala ordered us in the Quran, ikhwan, about the importance of preserving and taking care of the Salat when he said, حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين. Oh, you people, take care of all of your prayers. Make it your business to take care of all of the prayers. And don't be negligent concerning your prayers. The first issue you're going to be asked about when you stand up before Allah will be, how did you do with these prayers? Oh, people, take care of your prayers, and especially the middle prayer, the Asr prayer, and stand up in Allah, or stand up to Allah with devotion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and this hadith is muttafaqun alayhi, in showing us the importance of the Asr Salat, he said, الَّذِي تَفُوتُهُ صَلَاتُ الْعَصْرِ فَكَأَنَّمَا وُتِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ. The one who misses the Salat al-Asr, it is as if he has lost all of his children, his whole family, and he lost all of his money. Can you imagine, Ya Abdullah, what would be the feeling of one of us, لَا سَامَحَ اللَّهُ, if we went back home to find that our home burnt down to the ground with our monies and our families inside? It would be enough to cause some of us to become crazy, to become overwhelmed with grief, that you'll never be able to dig yourself out of that hole. He said, the one who misses the Salat al-Asr, that's what his situation is like. So therefore, it brings something to our minds, and that is, how is it possible as a Muslim that I can allow the Salat al-Asr to come and to go, and it doesn't affect me at all? If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likened it to the one losing his family and his money. مَنْ تَرَكَ صَلَاةَ الْعَصَرِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ. The one who leaves off Salat al-Asr, as he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his deeds will be rendered null and void. So we encourage all of you brothers, and we implore all of you brothers, do not allow your jobs to be a distraction. Do not allow your dunyas to be a distraction to worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the jihad, which is one of the highest forms of the ibadah, which has been legislated by Allah ta'ala, is not a legitimate excuse that made the Prophet comfortable with missing the Salat, then what about a man working for fulan or fulan? What about a man trying to make a few extra dollars or a few extra cents here or there? Clearly that's not permissible. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله تبارك وتعالى لنا ولكم التوفيق والثبات. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وأصلي وأسلم على من بعث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Many times I have been asked, Ikhwan, about an issue that faces many of us. And some of you may find yourselves in this position right now. A person, he comes and he accepts al-Islam. And his life in al-Islam requires him to get rid of some of the things that he used to do prior to al-Islam, in his days of al-Jahiliyyah. Or a man is already a Muslim, but there was a time that he wasn't really practicing al-Islam. So he accumulated some things that are not permissible for him to keep in his possession. As some of our young brothers, some teenage brothers who come to this masjid almost every night, they ask the question, what am I to do with the CDs that I have accumulated that are haram because they contain music? And music in al-Islam is haram, clearly. No doubt about it. Anyone can go to Sahih Bukhari in the Kitab al-Libas, and you'll see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that there are going to come a group of people in his ummah who are going to try to make halal musical instruments. So clearly musical instruments are haram. So what is produced by them are haram. And there are clear proofs. If you want to have a further discussion about this issue, there's a book called The Ruling of Music in Al-Islam. So he wants to know, what am I to do with these CDs? Rap music, all of this music, records, the tape, the videos, what am I to do? We know that we have been prevented and prohibited from destroying our money. حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ قِيلَ وَقَالَ وَكَثْرَةُ السُّؤَالِ وَإِضَاعَةِ الْمَالِ. It has been made haram for you people to have he said, she said. He said this, no, she said that, no, they went over there, he said that, she said, that's haram. And also asking excessive questions, going overboard and asking questions. And also the wasting of your money has been made haram. You can't waste your money. So if I take these videos or these CDs and I was to destroy them, I'll be wasting money. So should I sell them and get the money? That's the question that's posed and that's the question that's presented. And many of you, I'm sure, are in this position. What are you to do with the CDs and the materials that you know are haram? A man was a businessman and he was selling khamr. He has a freezer full of khamr, a freezer full of khindir, a freezer full of whatever is haram. He was a businessman and he has a factory, and in his storage he has a lot of cross Santa Clauses. Things that are representations of shirk and kufr. He says, I want to get rid of this. What can I do? This hadith that we mentioned about the Prophet Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam is one of the proofs that the scholars of al-Islam use to show that a man who has something that is haram, it's not permissible for you to take that khinzir or to take that khamr and to sell it to someone and to say, he's a non-Muslim, so I'm going to sell it to him. No. Allah prevented you from that in the Quran and too many ayats, like the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, وَتَعَاوِنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَتَقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوِنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Cooperate with each other. Cooperate with the people on righteousness and fear of Allah. And don't cooperate with each other in doing evil and in doing the bad deeds. So you can't sell someone something like that. The Prophet told us, إِذَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا حَرَّمَ ثَمَنُهُ. If Allah makes something haram, He also makes haram the profit that is derived from that thing. It's not permissible. I can't take a khinzir and go and sell it and say I'm not eating it, or I'm selling it to a kafir. If it is haram in the deen, to profit from its traffic is also not permissible. So the hadith of Joshua shows that it is permissible for a man to take those CDs, to take those records, and to destroy those things. Even though they have a monetary value attached to them, you're not considered of the people who are wasting. Here, if you were to look at the hadith of Joshua, alayhi salatu wasalam, وعلى نبينا الصلاة والسلام. They used to gather up the spoils of war. When they defeated their enemy, they would take all of the property of the enemy. It's like those people coming against us in Orlando. And if we were not Muslim, they go into our house, into our homes, everything that we possess, they take it. The army takes it. That's all of the spoils of war. It's up to the Rasul alayhi salam to determine how it's going to be divided in this land. But during that time, Allah Ta'ala used to send a fire from the sky and he used to destroy that property. And in the hadith it said that those three men who were thieves, they came out with a piece of gold the size of a cow's head. So you can imagine there must have been a lot of money. There must have been other money. And yet Allah Ta'ala legislated that it was destroyed. Similarly in al-Islam, before a man takes those CDs and he gives them to someone else, and then he helps the shaitan on that individual by blocking him and putting a barrier between him and righteousness, he should take those instruments, he should take those CDs, he should take those records, he should take whatever he has, and he should destroy it. What about the money that come as a result of that which is haram? Should I take the cash money and burn it? Is it the same thing? Those same scholars in al-Islam said concerning the monies that we get that are a result of the trafficking that's not permissible, is that the person can give that to poor Muslims, he can give it any way that he wants to give it, but he should not expect from it any reward. He can't expect that he's given this money that is haram and he's going to get a reward from it. No, he gives it away because someone can get some benefit. Now we're talking about wisdom. There's no contradiction here. The CDs are harmful. No one's going to get any benefit from that. You get the money, but it's harmful to the next person. Whereas the money, to destroy the money is going to be beneficial if you give it to a poor Muslim. If you give it to a poor relative. If you send it overseas. If you give it to some of the Muslims in Iraq. It makes more sense to do that than to take that money and to destroy it. But the person should not expect that he's given sadaqah fi sabilillah. Because Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is pure, he's good, and he only accepts from us that which is pure and that which is good. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to be of those people who put forth that which is pure and that which is good, and to overlook what we put forth from the evil and from the lewdness. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَنْ يَرْضَى عَنَّا وَأَنْ يَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا